Good morning. We're looking at the Bursa Malaysia movement this morning. As at 9:42 a.m., KLCI is down 6.8 points to 1548. This is down 0.44%. 760 million shares have been traded, with over 350 million ringgit transacted. Losers are actually taking point right now, with over 562 counters in the red, while only 108 in the green. We ran the news of UMW just now. UMW is quite interesting. It's down 6 cent to 3 ringgit 16 cent. The news of UMW is hitting the interest of many, largely because what is moving not just the business of UMW, but perhaps how this could affect the automotive sector altogether. In the meantime, we want to look into some of the events that are currently going to take place in WEF starting 3 days from now,
Haritz,
where we are looking at some of the ideas of energy being discussed, climate change being discussed. So counters like Petronas Dagangan, Petronas Chemical, Sapura Energy, and these kind of counters are going to be quite in focus. Also, let's now focus a little bit more on oil price, because after hitting 7-week highs, oil prices have slumped 2% on Tuesday, as Reuters reported that the United States could ease some restrictions on Venezuela's government, raising hopes that the market could see some additional supplies. Prices also fell after the Fed Chair Jerome Powell warned that the economy could be hurt by attempts to reduce inflation. Just 2 days ago, we're seeing oil prices moving rather erratically. So this morning, it's continuing with that erratic behavior. Stocks closed sharply lower on Wall Street as dismal results from Target renewed fears that inflation is battering U.S. companies. The S&P 500, the benchmark for many index funds, fell 4%. Target lost a quarter of its value, dragging other retailers down with it. After saying its profit fell by half in the latest quarter as costs for freight and transportation spiked. Now, this comes after a day of Walmart called in for or cited inflation for its own weak results. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 1,164 points, or 3.6%, and the tech-heavy Nasdaq pulled back 4.7%. Treasury yields fell as investors sought safer grounds. So we're going to continue on with our collaboration with BizTech Asia. It's called Asian Midday Market Watch. A little bit of a disclaimer, this interview was done midday yesterday, but some of the conversation is still relevant for this morning. My colleague Brian Fernandez is entering a conversation with Kelvin Wong, market strategist at CMC Market. Take a look.
It's up 0.4%. Shanghai is at 3,083.73. It's down 0.32%. The ASX All Ordinaries is at 7,416.3. It's up 0.89%. The Nikkei is at 26,834. It's up 0.65%. The Hang Seng is at 20,457.5. It's down 0.68%. And rounding up the numbers, we've got the Kospi, which is at 2,621.93. Just up slightly at 0.06%. Now, Kelvin, pretty mixed markets today. Tell us why.
Yes, so overall, what we could see over here is it's a kind of a mixed bag for the ASEAN, the major ASEAN stock indices. So on the positive side, what we see over here is it's a bit of a positive spillover from the overnight rally that was seen across in the major U.S. Stock indices, all the way from the Russell 2000 as well as the Nasdaq 100. So what was interesting over here is that the current rally of this U.S. Major U.S. stock indices seems to be driven by a hope. That's a hope saying that there's a possibility that there could be, we call it a valuation, has come close to a very cheap level where actually investors will actually start to kind of a buy the dip. Okay, but on the other hand over here is that if you look at a certain aspect of the market, there's still some risk going on. So if you look at what we're seeing now in Asia itself over here is that, yes, even though from China, China yesterday, the officials from Shanghai actually kind of give a bit of guidance, saying that this close to about 6 weeks plus of stringent lockdown in Shanghai is about to ease because of this. I think that's close to three consecutive days where they have zero COVID infection outside the kind of a not within the quarantine areas. But on the other hand, we start to see Beijing cases starts to flare up again. In fact, today. So today they actually reported an increase in COVID cases. So overall, there's still a bit of mixed news flow. But what's important to share with the audience is there's this two intermarket instrument that I tend to watch very closely to give me a gauge about whether the recent rally in this global stock market, if you look at taking the US stock market as a proxy, whether this last 3 day of rally, is it sustainable or is just a tactical rebound within a major and downtrending phase. So the first one I share with you is this US 10-year treasury yield. So take this US 10-year treasury yield as a global benchmark for cost of funding. So cost of funding as in for corporations and as well as a benchmark for even the housing loans. So what we could see is that since March this year, this 10-year US Treasury has actually started to rally pretty significantly. And bear in mind, this rally actually comes hand in hand with that recent 3 months of downturn that is seen on the US stock market that spread towards the rest of the world as well. And most interestingly, in the middle part of last week, you start to see a pullback in this US Treasury yield. So this pullback in US Treasury actually coincided with this last 3 days of rally that's being seen on the US stock indices, as per se the global equities in general. But what's interesting over here is that yesterday, if you look at yesterday price movement, it started to actually shape a bounce and form a higher low. So what it implies over here is that, very interesting, this higher low is formed right above a near-term support at 2.72% on the US 10-year Treasury yield, and also above this 50-day moving average, giving us a gauge of this medium-term uptrend that is still pretty much intact. So we could see yesterday's price action on the US 10-year Treasury yield indicate to us that there is a high chance that we may start to resume this rally in this US 10-year Treasury yield and may take us up to higher height towards the next resistance at 3.4%.
Yeah, and Calvin, this is what, I mean, US Federal Chair Jerome Powell said that he would back interest rate increases until prices begin falling back towards a healthy level. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. What impact do you think that will have on the thinking of central banks in the region?
Okay, so overall here, yeah, based on Powell yesterday, hawkish guidance, right? So what we could see over here is that what I'm pretty much concerned will be, firstly, we'll talk about China first. Because China right now, the situation is a bit dicey. Why? Because very clearly, if you look at the key economic data out from China,
The United Nations launched a 5-point plan to jumpstart broader use of renewable energies, hoping to revive world attention on climate change. As the UN's weather agency reported that greenhouse gas concentrations, ocean heat, sea level rise, as well as ocean acidification hit new records last year. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned about possible environmental disasters coming after the World Meteorological Organization issued its State of the Climate Report for 2021, which says that the last 7 years were the 7 hottest years on record. In his plan, which leans into the next UN climate conference taking place in Egypt, Guterres called for fostering technology transfer and lifting of intellectual property protections in renewable technologies like battery storage. Guterres wants to broaden access to supply chains and raw materials that go into renewable technologies, which are now concentrated in a few powerful countries.
This is why today I am proposing 5 critical actions to jumpstart the renewable energy transition. First, renewable energy technologies such as battery storage must be treated as essential and freely available global public goods. Removing obstacles to knowledge sharing and technological transfer, including intellectual property constraints, is crucial for a rapid and fair renewable energy transition. Storing renewable electricity is often cited as the greatest barrier to the clean energy transition. I'm therefore calling for a global coalition on battery storage to fast-track innovation and deployment. A coalition led and driven by governments, bringing together tech companies, manufacturers, and financiers.
Chinese Premier Li Keqiang, member of the Standing Committee of the Political Bureau of the Communist Party or Politburo of Central China Committee, urged the efforts to stabilize growth and ensure employment nationwide amid downward pressure on the Chinese economy. With regard to some weakened economic indices, the downward pressure on the economy brought by the COVID-19 pandemic and uncertainties of the international situation since March, particularly since April, Li called on the governments at all levels to remain confident and face up to the difficulties presented, as there's still room to for policies to handle the challenges. Li called for the efforts to effectively coordinate epidemic prevention and control with economic and social development and implement the policies already adopted as quickly as possible. He urged local authorities to take all proper measures to ensure that the economic platforms within an appropriate range in the first 6 months as well as in the whole year. Li stressed efforts to ensure unemployment and employment is maintained and the people's livelihood through stabilizing the market players is done. Efforts should be made to fully implement the incentive policies made by the central government as well as all the other agencies involved to ease the financial burden on enterprises with tax rebates as well as administrative fee cuts. These kind of assistance is going to help encourage financial institutions to provide preferential loans for small, micro and medium-sized enterprises as well as self-employed individuals, while allowing interest payments to be done as well as interest default and deferral to be made as well. The Premier also emphasized efforts to stabilize grain production and energy supply and to facilitate logistics and to sharpen the state-owned enterprises' competitiveness and to boost the private enterprises' confidence, support the platform economy as well as supporting the digital economy's lawful existing listing at home and abroad to stabilize housing prices as well for people's demand. Okey, kita dapat lihat banyak perkembangan yang telah berlaku di dunia dunia perniagaan dan juga dunia ekonomi dari China, termasuk antara langkah-langkah untuk membantu perniagaan perusahaan PKS di sana. Kita dah tengok macam mana Antonio Guterres agak agresif semalam, dah keluarkan kenyataan untuk menangani krisis karbohidrat. The carbohydrate crisis basically.
So sebab kita nampak especially dalam renewable energy, tenaga boleh perbaharui ni kan, so banyak perkara yang menjadi fokus. Dan WEF sebenarnya rakan kita Najib Aruf rasa tengah berkemas beg nak pergi ke
betul nak Najib Aruf sedang bergiat sedia untuk bergerak ke Davos, Switzerland, dan akan membuat liputan di sana bersama dengan warga Astro Awani. Kita akan bawakan mungkin tak secara langsung, tetapi kita akan bawakan berita-berita terkini dan padat dengan isu-isu mega trend yang kita sebutkan pada hari ini. Antara mega trendnya adalah energy crisis, climate change, and food security. Because seperti mana kita tahu, 1/3 daripada development of carbohydrate actually comes from Ukraine dengan Russia. And when you have 1/3 of the world supply of carbohydrate unable to be met, everything is going to be increased. So roti yang dekat, you know, Speed 99 ke, yang Gardena ke, just check the prices. I'm not saying it's going up very, very highly ke apa. Just remember the price today, pada 19 Mei, and then pada maybe 19 Jun, check balik harga dia. 19 Julai, check balik harga dia. That's how you know if prices have gone up or down. You know why I know? Because it's a very simple story. I don't remember every single price yang I beli dekat, apa nama, the pasar. But I remember one item, which is telur. Telur, satu dozen, it's about RM6 plus. I remember I bought it a few months ago. On the way home, my wife called me, asked me, eh, jangan lupa telur, stop by kejap dekat Speed 99. Went there, the same egg, it went up to RM8.25. So from RM6 to RM8.25, that's over 25% increase. That's just one item.
One item, betul?
I don't know the rest. Itu lah, kita tak hafal semua harga, betul, kan? But one item dah naik 25%. And then this is the thing. Ini yang agak sikit ni. Dawson kata, inflation price, food inflation has gone up 4%. Now, I'm not too sure how Dawson measures the food inflation element. But just on eggs alone dah naik 25%. I cannot imagine yang lain semua turun. to get an average of 4%.
Betul, nak balancekan jadikan 4%, yeah.
To get an average of 4, everything has to be, you know, within the same range,
negatif,
right?
Lah, kena turun lah.
So negatif lah kan, ada harga turun on makanan.
Okay, so berbalik macam kita tengok harga makanan, food security, security makanan ni, macam Prof. Datin Fatimah Arsyad juga menyebut bahawa akhirnya adalah kita, kegagalan kita untuk stock up. Sebab tu akhirnya kita perlu nak import, kita nak ada no more AP dan sebagainya, nak import masuk makanan. Sebab asasnya adalah kegagalan kita untuk menyediakan stok yang mencukupi, security makanan yang baik
di
negara ini.
Food security and our guest tadi pagi tadi membetul lah, I hit the point. But food security is going to be a mega issue, particularly on carbohydrate. Everybody in Malaysia eats carbohydrate. Everybody around the world eats carbohydrate, anywhere from rice to grain to wheat. So if we don't solve that now, it's going to be game over for everyone.
Baik. Okay, sekian sahaja Niaga Awani untuk waktu ini. Saya Haris Ashraf Hasnan.
Saya Ibrahim Zani.
Assalamualaikum, salam hormat.